Our JOY group. JOY stands for Just Older Youth. Created Lenten jars this week. We dropped slips of paper written with scripture verses and prayers and acts of devotion into a glass jar. And each day during Lent, we draw out one slip of paper and use what it says as our Lenten intention for the day. The first few days were lovely and admittedly pretty easy. Pray for someone you know is sick. Done. The second day, pray for soldiers who are serving our country. Done. Day three was a bit more challenging for someone who, for example, commutes down Peachtree Industrial Boulevard and sees a car trying to merge in from Tilley Mill. Fast from being first. Let someone go first today. All right, I'll let you over. But it's not because I'm Southern, it's because it's Lent and I'm a really good Christian. Well, on Monday, only 5 days into Lent, I encountered a serious problem. The slip of paper said, fast from soda, coffee, and other drinks. Drink only water today. Let's look at that in larger print. Fast from soda, coffee, and other drinks. Only water today. No coffee. Like, none. Look, like you, I want to follow Jesus, but I am a better Christian when I drink coffee. Do I have to let coffee go to be faithful this Lent? I decided to go where I go with all my deep theological problems. I posted the dilemma on Facebook. Thank you, Facebook. All responses were kind and clever. The comments from my pastor friends were especially passionate. A Decatur pastor offered wisdom. Coffee helps you connect with God. A pastor from deep in the heart of Texas said, coffee is the will of God. My favorite was the willingness from a pastor in this presbytery to intervene on my behalf. She said, I rebuke this in the name of the Lord. There are some things we do not want to let go. Little things and big, important things. We should hold on tight to some things sometimes. But things in this world are not eternal. Creation is constantly in a state of change. And to take on or take in something new, we must be able to let go. Mary Oliver shares this wisdom in her poem we just read. To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your whole life depends on it. And when the time comes to let it go, let it go. Those of you with children are waiting for the obvious illustration of the movie Frozen, for which this hit song, Let It Go, was birthed, but we're not gonna go there today. Let's look at another type of frozen. The nickname we Presbyterians have been given and often deserve. We are God's frozen chosen. Let's begin with the second word, chosen. Chosen is an important word when Presbyterians talk about God. Theology means talk about God. Presbyterians subscribe to a particular type of theology, Reformed theology. While you can't put your finger on exactly what it is we believe, here are five general principles of Reformed theology. First of all, Reformed theologians acknowledge the sovereignty of God. God is in charge. Second, we are faithful stewards of creation. Third, we seek justice by transforming society. Fourth, We live a covenantal life. And finally, we come to our word. Fifth, we are chosen by God for service and for salvation. That's the genesis of chosen in Frozen Chosen. Reverend Jenny Sankey and I had an entire semester in seminary together that covered those two slides. If you think these points need more explanation, you're right. It's too much to wedge into one sermon, much less 1 minute of one sermon. But there was an excellent question during the congregational meeting last week about this exact subject, so I'm offering this slide. You can go more deeply into these ideas by picking up a printed copy of today's sermon that are out in the narthex. At the bottom, I've listed valuable educational links about Reformed theology, and they're a good starting point if you want to dive more deeply into it. Back to today's message. We've learned chosen of Frozen Chosen means that we are God's people, chosen to serve and chosen for salvation. But what about frozen? You wouldn't know from our cabaret previews that we've been treated to these last few weeks, but we Presbyterians are typically not very demonstrative. We may just get a little wee bit stuck in our ways. We've been accused of lacking passion. Hence the nickname, God's Frozen Chosen. Frozen Chosen is used as a collective pronoun to describe Presbyterians. But Mary Oliver's poem is about action. She uses the verbs love and hold and let it go, let it go. Here is an essential truth. Our faith, our following Christ, our discipleship is a verb. We are not part of a collective noun. We are not a single unchanging named thing. We are, individually and as a group, a verb. We are in the middle of action, God actively loving us. Our active response to that love, which we call ministry, and our ever-changing understanding of what it means to be faithful, to follow Christ. If you, as an individual, are not changing and growing, if you are frozen, you are not living. Take a look at your life and ask yourself, am I frozen or am I following? Maybe you're in a codependent relationship. You say the same things over and over and nothing ever changes. Your relationship is frozen in an unproductive loop. Perhaps you've been the leader of a group for so long that you're leading out of habit instead of from a place of joy. Your inspiration is frozen. Or you care so much about appearing to have it all together that you don't want to try anything new. You're frozen in your routine. Your work, what you do, completely defines you. Your entire identity is limited to what's written in your LinkedIn profile. You're frozen into a one-dimensional person. When you take a careful look at the way things are in your life and consider how things could change, it's scary. But we need to let things go. Let go of something that may at one time been very, very good, but now needs to change. So you can move forward and follow. Well, but preacher, that is hard. I have always had lunch with this one toxic friend, and if I cancel on her, she's going to talk about me to everybody in town. I am rather be frozen than be the topic of gossip. Well, preacher, what if I step down from my stale role as leader and no one misses me? I'd rather be frozen than just be one of the guys. preacher, what if I try that new thing and I fail miserably? I would rather be frozen than fall on my face in front of everyone. Change is scary. Mark 8:31. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine Peter's words, hissing with fear and anxiety and anger? Jesus, you are the conquering Messiah. You are my friend, my mentor. Don't speak to us about challenges and trials and death. I like things the way they are. I am comfortable with what I know, and I don't want to be a part of anything hard. A church can also freeze. Pleasant Hill managed to grow and change under the same pastor for many, many years. And we have more than held our own as we've searched for our new head pastor, implementing new programs and worship practices. But as every gardener will tell you, beware of the late spring freeze. Starting May 3rd, Reverend Katie Day will be her first day of leadership, leading us as our new pastor. Let's keep our ears open. Listen for the first time our new pastor asks a question, and the answer she receives is, "We've always done it that way." Let's notice when words like can't and haven't and won't creep into our vocabulary when we're discussing a new vision of ministry at Pleasant Hill. Let's not ice over. Let's be sure we don't mimic Peter, who likes things just the way they are and doesn't want to pick up his cross and follow Christ. Oh, Peter. We have the privilege of reading today's scripture and knowing the happy ending. You and I know the risen Lord, the Prince of Peace, the conquering Messiah. But Peter was simply standing in front of his Savior. He saw all that he loved was at risk. Of course he was scared. Of course he wanted to freeze things just as they were. This is the same Peter who, in Mark 9, will witness the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, see Elijah and Moses, and want to build shelters so they can all hunker down and take up residence and keep things just the way they are. I don't mean to be rough on Peter. He was a wonderful disciple. He was also human. And we, also human, can learn from Peter's mistakes. Disciples embrace change. When you follow, you encounter a change of scenery, a change of people in your life, and therefore, a change in yourself. The one thing that does not change is whom we follow, Jesus the Christ. We have 9 brand new members at Pleasant Hill, our recent confirmands. Bennett, Gianna, Annalise, Jack, Shaw, Catherine, Anya Lucia, Levi, and Olivia. You wrote faithments, to express your beliefs, your understanding of God, and how you choose to connect faith with everyday life. I've got good news, and I've got bad news. Good news first. The good news is what the good news always is, that through the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. The bad news, it's not really bad news. Your faithment is not complete. They are even now, at this very moment, under revision. You, as disciples, just as every other person in this room, are growing and changing. Your faith, your beliefs, your connection to Christ is not frozen, but always evolving. God is acting in each of us every moment of every day. We are Reformed theologians. That is to say, Reformed and always being reformed. Faith-filled and open to being changed. We must let go of what we cling to so desperately so that we can embrace the new, so we can follow, so we can disciple, so we can be a verb. Verse 33, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." It's not all fun and games when you set your mind on divine things. It impacts how you live your life. The cross we bear can be heavy. We may suffer when we choose to move from comfortable to Calvary. Verse 35, for those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. It's not all fun and games, but oh, to follow Christ, to be a disciple, to be a verb. It's glorious, glorious, and even better than a fresh, hot cup of coffee. Amen.